वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृतं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सारस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. सो वी आर सर्विंग श्रीमद् भागवतम First Canto, 8th chapter, one of the most famous verse, even outsider chants in India, I notice. It's like anywhere you go, they chant this sloka at least. Because this has such a melody, so we'll just sing instead of recite the verse. Krishnaya Vasudevaya देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः क्रिश्चियन कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च गोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः
कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय
कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय
देवकी
नंदनाय च
नंद
गोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो
नमः
वासुदेवाय
देवकी
नंदनाय च
नंद
गोप कुमाराय कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः. Krishnaya,
Krishnaya,
the Supreme Lord.
The Supreme Lord.
You know, I was just thinking, why Prabhupada doesn't just give another meaning? But actually, this Krishna has such a deep meaning. It's a perfect translation, I would say, the Supreme Lord. Because it has a many meaning of the supremacy. Vasudevaya, unto the son of Vasudev. Devaki Nandanaya, unto the son of Devaki. Cha, and Nanda Gopa, Nanda and the coward man. That's interesting how Prabhupada include all the Brajavasis in this one sloka. He could have said just Nanda Maharaj. He said Nanda and the coward man. Covered. Kumaraya, unto their son. Govindaya, unto the personality of Godhead. Who enlivens the cows and the senses. Namaha. Respectful obeisances. Namaha. Obeisances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord who has become the son of Vasudev. Son of Vasudev. The short A is the father and long A is the son or God. Who has become the, but in English both are we. Who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda and the other coward man of Vrindavan and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakha Nitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunnavadi Paschatta Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Taruvesha Kripasindubhayevacha Patitanam Pavanibho Vaishnavibho Namo Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Thank you. This is such a beautiful purport. I'm going to break down the purport paragraph by paragraph so I can understand. And to do that, I need your blessing and prayers so that I can speak something that will purify my heart. So in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Lord being thus unapproachable by any material assets, unbounded and causeless mercy, descend to the earth as he is in order to show his special mercy upon his unalloyed devotee and to diminish the upsurges of the demoniac person. So in this series of prayers of Mother Kunti, who is actually, I would say, focusing, what I understand, not on life's specific problem she has, but she is focusing on life's universal purpose, what Krishna has purpose behind it. If you look at her life, what I see, she is in the middle of big tribulation. First is a own sons, and then now the grandson being attacked by this Brahmastra. And so many tribulations since her child, beginning of her life. This is the greatest example of how this great soul like Prabhupada, Mother Kunti, what they focus even in the midst of biggest challenge. Because during life we all face various specific problems, no? Our health may go down, our relationship may run through rough patches, our workload may become excessive. These problems need specific solution, that's true. But we cannot let ourselves get consumed in seeking such specific solution. And this is the biggest problem. I mean, I don't know how many actually, even devotees can claim that they had a problem more than Mother Kunti or Arjuna. I mean, seriously, if you look at their every day-to-day life, if you can imagine just how terrible. Somebody is trying to kill, planning and supporting, and you're going to live with them. Wow, every day you're going to see their face. And you have to take it without enmity feeling. Wow. It's a beautiful journey within, not outside. So sometimes solution may elude us, or some problem may have no solution. Janmashtami day, my oldest son Gopal, say, signed up for cutting up and everything. But as Mangalarti finished, I just went outside. He called me. He said, shop got burglarized. Can you come? I said, okay. I was like, okay, how is the life? Very interesting, is it? So, but everything is okay for now. Insurance is there and the guy is, anyway, everything is good under Krishna's protection. So some problem may have a solution, as we see, and some may not have. They just need to be endured. That's what we see. Most, you know, problems keep coming just as waves keep coming in an ocean, as Prabhupada says. Also Bhagavad Gita actually literally states that. That's why we need to look beyond life's specific problem to life's universal problem or what is the purpose Krishna has? Remember one time Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, one should focus purpose beyond the body in order to understand the body. Wow, that's very nice. So ultimately the purpose of everything in the world, indeed the purpose of the world itself, is spiritual evolution. We are spiritual being, no? Essentially we are spiritual being, or we are potentially spiritual being? Essentially and potentially also, but essentially we are spiritual being. And if I don't focus on that, I see this, it's a lot of difficult to overcome anything. But when we think our eternal existence in relation to Krishna, then things become very easy. So here, in the first paragraph of Prabhupada, I find if we can always focus on following a Vaishnava, because there is a beautiful song Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes. Kabe Sri Chaitanya More Karibe Na Daya. In one of the lines there, Vaishnava Raya Vedane Krishna Daya Mai. If someone has a shelter of a Vaishnava, advanced Vaishnava like Prabhupada, then everything will be wonderful at the end. Because the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna does not say you become devotee and you surrender, then you will have no problem. It did not say that. If you break down those verses, Machitta Sarva Durgani, you become conscious of me, Machitta Sarva Durgani, and there will be a series of obstacles in life. Durgani means a plural. Durgani. Mat prasadat tarishyasi. And by my mercy, you will cross over one by one. He did not say that, okay, you became devotee, no more problem, finish. No. The problem will be, material world means like this. But he says, mat prasadat tarishyasi. Ata chaita hankarat na susrusi vinakshasi. And those who are not paying attention or not taking shelter of me, that they have no end of their misery. But the devotees who have taken shelter, if they stay within the boat, Krishna promised unsinkable ship, but he does not promise that there won't be tides or turbulation in the boat. I mean, you mentioned in your offerings that Prabhupada spent over 30 days in your offering, the crossing. I just went from Trinidad to Tobago for a preaching tour with a bunch of devotees. It's not even a day. I got sick. And I throw up. It's like a horrible, like almost all the devotees throw up. I was thinking like, you appreciate Prabhupada's challenges he took. It's like saying like 1 month, okay, little more than a month he crossed. It's not really like this. Just go for a 1 day. you feel like, and on the way back, I said, no more going by the ship, just fly. So, almost tears comes, like how much struggle Prabhupada went through. It's not just a little struggle, you know. It's a serious, severe struggle. Next line Prabhupada writes, Queen Kunti specifically adores the incarnation or descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnation, because in this particular incarnation he is more approachable. I like that. Very sweet. You know, when Krishna Balaram was entering the wrestling arena, every acharya, including Rupa Goswami Pad, gives commentary on this, and he talks about, everybody talks, Jiva Goswami Pad talks about Mallana, Moshinam, Ninam, Naravaras, Mara, Murtimam. It's a long verse, beautiful verse. I remember, you could almost chew it, every line. That how Lord Krishna is the only incarnation, I mean, he is the origin of all incarnation. But still, he is that incarnation that he will not let any living entity go from any aspect of relationship. I mean, Varahadev, I was thinking, like, you can't imagine Varahadev dancing with Radharani. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm not clearly seeing. Or Nrisimhadev, you know, like all this. All these forms are beautiful. But there is a verse in Madhyalila chapter 9, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conversation with Venkata Bhatta. Prabhupada gave a beautiful purport on that. He says, Siddhantastu abhedapi Srisha Krishna Sarupaya Rasana Utkrishyate Esa Krishna Rupam Rasastiti. So Siddhantastu, Prabhupada said, abhed, if you see the difference, as per transcendental realization goes, if you see the difference between the incarnation, then it is offense. So we cannot see the difference. But the next line it says, Rasena utkrishyate esa Krishna rupam rasastiti. As per transcendental mellow, Krishna holds the highest position. So that means we cannot see the difference. At the same time, we have to appreciate and glorify Krishna more than others, because he can accommodate every rasa, every relationship from any angle, every angle. Kamsa wants to kill Krishna, but his mother, Mother Padmavati, she is almost in love with Krishna, old lady. She cried even, how beautiful Krishna is, unbelievable. So, of course, Rohini Maya and others, shh, you're like grandmother, you don't talk like this. Say, I want to look at him every day, whole time, every time. Said, you can't. He's a married man, he's a grown up, he's a king, you have to see from far. And then she cries. This separation and union is like with everybody. It's very unique. Then Prabhupada writes, in the Rama incarnation, I love the way, you know, even this is a simple verse, but Prabhupada puts so many secret things. He says, in the Rama incarnation, he remained a king's son from his very childhood. But in the incarnation of Krishna, although he was a son of a king, he at once left the shelter of his real father and mother, King Vasudeva and Queen Devaki, just after his appearance, and went to the lap of Yashoda Maiya to play the part of an ordinary coward boy in the blessed Braja Bhumi, which is very sanctified because of his childhood pastimes. Therefore, Lord Krishna is more merciful than Lord Rama. Now, Prabhupada is comparing here too, no? So it's a very interesting, because I never heard this story, the reference, but Prabhupada tell this story. Tripurari Maharaj says he was there in that morning walk in Vrindavan, where Prabhupada went in this Ranganathji garden. Sometime I guess he used to go for a walk there. One time Nalinikanta Prabhu told me he was there also. And Prabhupada says, look at this Ram Bhakta. Let me ask him a question. So Prabhupada, walking by, Prabhupada stopped right in front of that gentleman, the devotee. Prabhupada said, Hare Krishna. And then this Ram Bhakta says, Ram Ram. And Prabhupada said, this is so funny. They are very nice devotee. But nobody will understand the position of Ram and Krishna in a highest degree. So nice. So they went around like this. And the other side, when Prabhupada met again, and Prabhupada again stopped him and he says, Hare Krishna. And he said, Ram Ram. Then Prabhupada tell a secret story. I mentioned this before, but it's so fascinating. I don't know how, where from Prabhupada got it. He says, when Lord Krishna in Rasa dance, who was reading it? Oh, Mother Hari Puja. She was reading other day about Rasa Lila, because the altar was decorated with the gopis and Rasalila. The first time she was reading is there's a three Rasalila that is a Sarat Purnima, autumn Rasalila she was reading from Krishna book. And so Prabhupada said this past time also in autumn Rasalila that Krishna after saw the apparently pride in the gopis, he left. Of course, he didn't just leave, because Radharani left before, Prabhupada said in Bhagavatam. So Radharani left, then Krishna also left all the gopis. This is a group where 16,000 groups of different group comes, first time in their life mostly. They're uniting with Krishna. And Prabhupada mentioned, she was reading other day, the Munichari, Srutichari, the Veda personified, the sages from Ramlila that Ram could not give association. They all came to join in this Rasalila. And when Krishna left, of course the gopis, they found out. How they found? They found one footprint. Means they say, that's where Krishna went. They know his footprint. We all the devotees know, no? Footprint. You have to know footprint because all the Brajabhashi knows Krishna's footprint. Underneath the soul, what the marks are there. It's very sweet. So then, after a little while, they saw two footprints. So that was a Radharani with Krishna. Very nice. And Prabhupada says that Krishna came this Kammabon area where he sat down with Srimati Radharani for a few moments. And Lord Ramchandra just came out with a puja tray. And then I find Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually mentioned this, that actually Kammabon is where Lord Ramchandra's origin is there. All the incarnation origin is in Golok Vrindavan, in Krishna Lila. So then Lord Ramchandra started worshipping Radha Krishna. So Lord Ram's object of worship is Radha Krishna. How many Ram Bhakti will ever know? Only if they come with Hare Krishna. Devotees, they will come to know. Otherwise, they will never know. It's okay, nothing wrong. But our object of worship, as Prabhupada said, this is so beautiful. The Krishna conception. It is not just Krishna. Because in Jiva Goswami Pad, in Chaitanya Charitamrita Purport Prabhupada put, Atra Sthayi Bhava So Prakta Sri Krishna Vishayaroti. When you think of Sthayi Bhava, we all have a bhav, everybody knows, no? This is, we have eternally a bhav. This is the main component to serve Krishna. So our immediate purpose of sadhana, that we are, whatever we do every day, to awaken that bhav. And that bhav is not a product of this world. Bhav is a product of spiritual world. And bhav is a combination of pleasure potency and cognizant potency, but that potency will be awakened when you have a connection with pure goodness, Shuddha Satta. And pure goodness will be connected only when you are connected with person who is having this pure goodness, like Prabhupada. And through Prabhupada, most of the ISKCON serious, sincere followers, they also are connected in the same Shuddha Satta. I mentioned that also before, but I always like this concept, that Tamal Krishna Maharaj, the way he explained, and his understanding from Prabhupada's conversation. He said, how do you know? Okay, Krishna exists in pure goodness. Our bhava also has to come in contact with pure goodness, then it will be awakened. How do you know when this contact, connect, take place? Is there a symptom? So he mentioned the symptom, he says, when you feel you cannot live without hearing about Krishna, without serving Krishna, when you feel this urges, just like material urges, six urges is there, spiritual urges also there, you feel like, oh, I want to hear more. I want to hear more about Krishna. I want to hear more. You feel like within you are connecting. You are connected with the pure goodness. I like that. It's very practical. We can see It's very sweet. So we can, as Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur says, testing machine is within. So individually we can check how much we are advancing from that angle. Then Prabhupada's right here, in this regards of Ram and Krishna. I remember another lecture Prabhupada gave also. When Parashuram, it's like a standard of measurement, you know. Who is going to measure, who is more higher, who is... Prabhupada said, when Parashuram met Ram, he challenged. And when he met Krishna, he paid obeisances. I like that, I was like, wow. The way Prabhupada put it is very sweet. Then Prabhupada writes in the paragraph, he was undoubtedly very kind to Kunti's brother Vasudev and the family. Had he not become the son of Vasudev and Devaki, Queen Kunti could not claim him to be her nephew and thus address Krishna in parental affection. In spiritual journey, this is like floating around. But originally I heard it's come from Narottam Das Thakur. It is not how much you know about spiritual life or spiritual journey or spiritual destiny. Who do you know is more important. So make sure when we are tested, oh, we are follower of Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Krishna will immediately embrace me. Because this is such an opportunity we have. We should be Suvidabadi. Suvidabadi means advantage taker. You know, businessmen, they even told Prabhupada, you are businessman, one of your godbrothers said, so you knew how to make this into biggest commercial, industrialized way of distributing Krishna. Prabhupada was laughing. Prabhupada said, yes. In India, they say, don't be Suvidavadi, but it's a common thing, you know, like, why are you becoming advantage taker? Well, we are. Because Prabhupada has a backdoor key, all kinds of, you know, expression he did. Why not? Why should we wait for him another few thousand life or million life to go back? We want to do it at the end of this life, and we want to give it as many people as possible. So then Prabhupada writes, but Nanda and Yashoda are more fortunate because they could relish the Lord's childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than all other pastimes. There is no parallel to his childhood pastime as exhibited at Brajabhumi, which are replicas of his eternal affairs in the original Krishna Loka, described as the Chintamani Dham in Brahma Sanghita. Lord Sri Krishna descended himself at Brajabhumi with all his transcendental entourage and paraphernalia. You know, I was thinking like Prabhupada is giving so much glory of Vrindavan and Vrindavan Krishna. Rupa Goswami Pad said there is a more, Krishna is perfect, more perfect in Krishna is perfect in Dwarka, more perfect in Mathura, most perfect in Vrindavan. That's a proper translated in Nectar Devotion. Vrindavan is a state of divine existence where even the most lowest has a direct connection with the Absolute. Krishna never walks on his shoes. But Dwarka, Mathura, he walked on shoes. He has a beautiful, I don't know how you walk on a diamond and gold shoes. I really don't know. But Radharani did not like it. He said he forgot how to dress. She told to Lalita Sakhi, how can he forget? Man, when goes crazy, they put a wrong way shirt, and you know, it's true. In America also they say, when someone goes so crazy, lunatic or something, and don't know how to dress properly. So seeing this Rajabesh, this Kshatriya, kingly dress in Kurukshetra, Radharani said, I can't believe he lost his mind so much, he doesn't even know how to dress. Why do all these jewel, you know, things are like stuck on his head? Because they put a beautiful flower, nice crown. But in Vrindavan, in Dwarka, they have like a gold crown with a diamond shining, all this. And he has the shoes. They took it off, everything, when they met in Kurukshetra. Lalita Sakhi convinced. And they really dress very well. This is what Ratha Jatra is, coming back to Vrindavan. But they had to brainwash him. Psychological mechanism worked. Krishna is very unique, very wonderful, such a lovable, preeminently, I would say, eternally lovable personality is Krishna. Such a moldable, you know, he accommodates you. So in Vrindavan, these words that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said we should focus. Oi nandatanuja kinkaram patitam mavishame bhavambudau kripaya tava pada pankaja stita dhuli sadrisham vichintaya. That we are aspiring to be an atom at Krishna's feet. Actually, the word meaning in Chaitanya Charitamrita puts dhuli means dust. How do you be excited to become a dust? If you know the meaning of the dust, so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a commentary on it. He says, even the dust in Golok Vrindavan, Brajadham, is pre-deposited with cognition potency and goodness, pure goodness, sandini potency. And more, the moment Krishna walks on them, they get completely saturated with pleasure potency. And they become so ecstatic, happy, they do not know how to control themselves, so they go in the sky like a dust. And they serve in the sky, tells Mother Yashoda, your son is here. So Mother Yashoda looked at from her house and see, oh, dust over there, few miles here, or this way or that way. So this way they serve Mother Yashoda with the information, because she goes anxiety so much, missing Krishna. Then Prabhupada writes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore confirmed that no one is as fortunate as the residents of Brajabhumi, specifically the coward girls who dedicated their everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. His pastimes with Nanda and Yashoda, and his pastimes with coward men, and especially with the coward boys and the cows, have caused him to be known as Govinda. Lord Krishna as Govinda is more inclined to the brahmanas and the cows, indicating thereby that human prosperity depends more on these two items, namely brahmanical culture and cow protection. Lord Krishna is never satisfied where these are lacking. I have only 5 minutes and I made a few notes. I haven't started. It's interesting. I'll end here if anybody has any questions, comments. Reflection. Yes, Mother Sridhar.
Thank you. I just have a couple of questions, unless somebody else's questions. So this last statement, Krishna is not satisfied unless there is brahminical culture and cow protection. So if there's like a situation where there's like a lot of wealth, for example, like in a city, but because these are lacking, like, what is that? Does that get, you know, destroyed because these are lacking? You know, like, what is wealth without brahminical culture and cow protection?
What I understand that our main wealth is that our relationship with Krishna, that bhava, to awaken that, you need a Brahmanical culture. It cannot be practiced without the association of those saintly persons. Brahmanical culture means a resident, a community of saintly people who helps and others just to establish the relationship or revive the dormant love for the Lord. And that's the highest wealth. This so-called material wealth is not really wealth. It because it promotes only sense gratification, and they go far away from their real wealth. Ramananda Rai and Mahaprabhu's discussion, this question was asked, that what is the greatest wealth a living entity can possess? He said, Ramananda Rai answered, they already have the Krishna prem for Radha Krishna. And we should try our best. In one sense, we should build more community of with the Brahmanical culture of cows, because if you look at the cows, it produces milk, the jagna, and all other facilities. The Brahmanas means, in one way to look at it, Brahmana means who pays attention to God, Krishna. Sudra means the least they have anything to do with God. The Brahmana always thinks the world has no value without God. This is my way of thinking when I read those slokas. And the Sudra means they think the God has no value without the world. So they always focus on the world, Duryodhana mentality. So when Prabhupada put such a nice way, and I look at this way in Alachua, all this flour that we buy from outside, all these groceries that we buy from outside, there's seven people in between, from the farmer who grow those, the truck driver who carried these, in between there is another person who plugged those, and then storage place, cash register, and the person driving to temple. These are, according to Ramanujacharya, these are all part of the worship. Because if somebody did not grow the flower, how you offer the flower here? So Ramanujacharya says, abhigamanam, ijja means only the pujari in the temple. He's not the only pujari. All of those, abhigamanam means started from the person who planted the seed. Of course you may say, well, he didn't plant to offer it to Krishna. But the Hare Krishna devotees, Ishkan is so kind that those devotees somehow or other engage them, no? So everybody is benefiting indirectly. They are getting some sukriti, bhakti, unmukhi sukriti. Not pure bhakti, but unmukhi sukriti means those sukriti, those pious activity, because it's connected, will bring them to Krishna consciousness. Today or tomorrow or next life, I don't know. Only Krishna knows. But everything is engaged. So more the devotee are engaging outsider, then this culture will become a Brahmanical culture. Not necessarily that if you have a little heart with a cow and you worship, that is only Brahmanical culture. No, that's not what it is. If you look at the many verses now, I'm thinking, but the English translation is, those who pay attention to Krishna, what Lord has to say, they are the Brahmana. Who are they? We are. Like all these devotees all over the world. So when we go out, so that is a Brahmanical culture in that sense. And the wealth in that sense that they're giving the books, like Dibanga Prabhu gives the books. Actually, he's giving the wealth. And they're going to eventually realize. I hope it answers.
Yes, thank you. And those who are wealthy, independent of Brahmanical culture, they will lose that eventually.
Yes.
Right? And they'll just maybe take an animal birth in the next life, or it's all temporary unless you are paying attention to the Lord. Right? Unless you're committing some devotional service, like giving donations or donating to the temple, you will lose all that wealth.
Yes. You know, it's very funny. Because I just found one little article. I was writing something about karma. Are we the maker of our destiny, or life is predestined? You know, just a little short for the Facebook ad. And it was very interesting. I found an article while Prabhupada read. Prabhupada spoke. Harishwari Prabhu put it in his book. Maybe you heard this. About the Hawaii 25th floor. You ever heard? So, Harishwari Prabhu is saying to Prabhupada, but those people, I guess at that time, 25th floor was like the biggest floor in that part of Honolulu or whatever. It's like high, topmost building. So Prabhupada, they love to live there. This man told that he loves to live on 25th floor. Prabhupada said, that's all right. He has money, he can do this. But he does not know that next life, because his attachment on 25th floor, he will come back to Honolulu on 25th floor as a cockroaches. When I read that, I was like, and he will be saying, how this roaches in the 25th floor? Well, what is that? And Prabhupada said, what is that? What is that? Exterminator. Oh yes, they will come and they will kill. And how am I getting killed on 25th floor because I want to live on 25th floor? Is this really a life? Is this really a wealthy man's destiny? It's very sad. It's very sad, really sad.
Well, it's such an illusion.
Yeah, yeah, it's scary, isn't it? Isn't scary? So when we see the wealthy man, we should save them just by giving book or something. That at least they don't have to be roaches, according to Prabhupada, and get killed. So I don't know, material wealth looks like a very scary without Krishna consciousness. Thank you.
About material wealth in the story of the Avanti Brahmana, 11th canto. It's a couple of verses. This is 11:23-17. In the earning, attainment, increase, protection, expense, loss, and enjoyment of wealth, all men experience great labor, fear, anxiety, and delusion. And the next three verses say, theft, violence, speaking lies, duplicity, lust, anger, perplexity, pride, quarreling, enmity, faithlessness, envy, and dangers caused by women, gambling, and intoxication are the 15 undesirable qualities that contaminate men because of their greed for wealth. Although these qualities are undesirable, men falsely ascribe value to them. Now, one desiring to achieve the real benefit of life should therefore remain aloof from undesirable material wealth.
Everybody has it wrong. They all think, if I just win the lottery, if I just get some money, if my dad dies and I get a bunch of money, then all my problems will be solved. But you hear those 15 things, theft, violence, lies, duplicity, that's what you get. And you'll see, they interview people after they win the lottery sometimes. They get $10 million and then a couple of years later they kill themselves or whatever, or they're bankrupt, because it's not, you can't satisfy the soul with material. So Bhagavatam says, one desiring to achieve the real benefit of life should remain aloof from undesirable material.
Thank you. I'll end with this line that in Mother Kunti's prayers, because she's such an advanced Mahabhagavat, that she has proved to me, even if we lose hope with ourselves, which happens many times, but Krishna never loses hope with us. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.